The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up? This is Connor Livesy with the Talking the Star podcast, and tonight we're on with another NFL draft prospect interview. Tonight I'm on with Drew Samia, Oklahoma offensive guard. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good. I'm really excited to have you on, one of the top interior offensive linemen in this class. Right now I wanted to start it off, man, with where are you training at right now?
I'm down in XS Carlsbad right now.
Okay, man, it seems like a lot of guys I'm talking to this year are down there at Exos. They must be doing a lot of great work down there.
Yeah, we have a great group of guys, and you know the coaches are taking care of us, getting us ready for this combine.
You know, I've talked to some receivers, and I think I've talked to a running back as well who kind of went through their day at Exos, kind of what they wake up and then when they go to sleep. Do you mind taking us through a normal day for you down at Exos?
Yeah, sure. So each group is different. The offensive line and defensive line group is the last ones to work out for the day. So we have the latest times for things. So say around 9 o'clock, we get up, eat breakfast, head over to the facility. It's probably like 10 yards from the hotel that we're at right now. So it's a nice setup, man. You don't even need to drive over there. But get into the facility, get warmed up, get weighed in, and just get ready for our day. We do our first workout. And usually consists of some sort of field work, and then get inside, get to lifting. In the afternoon, depending on the day, we'll do position-specific work, and we'll have position coaches come in. We'll work with them, and then get like a really small break, maybe like an hour, hour and a half, until the second session. And second session similar to the first, just working field work, come in, do weightlifting. Some days we'll have physical therapy to work on some of our, if you have medical issues or if you have muscle deficiencies in certain areas, they'll work with you on that. And then some days we have a massage after everything's said and done for the day. So that's pretty much a typical day at Exos.
So at Exos, they have you set up on a meal plan as well, right?
Yeah.
So you're eating pretty, you know, mad healthy while you're there.
Yeah, our diet's been crazy good. I think my body fat dropped down to, like, the last time it was measured was at 16%, and I came in at 20% body fat. So
Wow. They
have us eating, they have us eating good, a lot of vegetables. Some company delivers our food, but we get to pick what we eat. They personalize it to each individual player and what they need, what their needs are, protein, carbs, stuff like that. So it's really personalized.
So I got to ask, if you had a cheat day, and you might, but let's just say you're eating healthy 7 days a week, 24/7.
Yeah.
If you had a cheat day, what's the meal you're going to eat if you can, you know, get away from that healthy food?
Man, well, the cheat meal I have been eating is, yes, sometimes I'll head over to, I just recently discovered this too. I didn't know that Jersey Mike's served hot sandwiches. I thought they were like a cold sub place. But I went up to Jersey Mike's, and they have this big kahuna cheesesteak. Oh, my God, bro. That is so delicious. I've been eating that, but I've been waiting. I have a really good plan for after pro day. I'm gonna be eating as much pizza as possible, pizza, burgers, all the greasy food that I'm staying away from right now.
Good deal, good deal. Yeah, I'm sure they're making sure you're staying away from that stuff now, getting your getting your body straight for the combine, which is coming up, and that's what I want to talk about next. Is you got the combine coming up at the end of the month. How excited are you to get down into Indianapolis? Obviously, go through the meetings, but more so just kind of showcase what you do well. And I think that's your athletic ability, your lower body movement, your upper body strength. The things you're good at are going to shine at the combine. How excited are you to get down there and really showcase those?
I'm pumped, man. You know, growing up, I used to watch the combine on TV all the time, and you know, I never thought I'd be in a position to where, you know, in 2 weeks I'm heading there. So it's gonna be a once in a lifetime experience. I'm ready to go out, compete with the guys. It's gonna be a little bit different because it's not exactly football, but you know, it's gonna be fun to run around and do the things that we've been training to do these past couple months.
And you're probably a little bit warmed up to that situation being coming back from the Senior Bowl, where you kind of, again, for most of the part, for you know, the first few days, you're doing a lot of meetings with the teams, with the GMs, with the coaches,
yeah.
And you kind of go through some walkthrough scenarios where you're doing drills, and then you get into practice, which obviously that's not going to happen at the combine. But how important do you think it is to be able to go to the Senior Bowl and kind of experience some of the things that you're getting ready to experience at the combine in a more official, setting?
Yeah, I feel like I'm really lucky, man. That experience, I feel, was, you know, priceless, pretty much, because as soon as we showed up in the Mobile for like 3 days straight, the only time that we weren't like doing something was maybe at like 11:30 at night, and you finally got back to the hotel room. If you're not doing football, preparing for the game and preparing for the practices, you're getting pulled by teams left and right. It's a madhouse trying to keep everything, you know, organized. And I've been told that the combine is a pretty similar, if not more intense experience, but it's nice to kind of get warmed up to something like that, so it's not just, you know, sneaking up on me.
It's so funny you say that, because obviously at the Senior Bowl, after practices and stuff, we would always go to the hotel and go in the little film room they have and watch the practices, watch tape. But sometimes it's cool to just sit out there and watch how hectic the situation is with you guys just walking around.
Oh, my gosh, man. Well, I'm glad someone enjoyed that, man, because that was crazy. Like, the only time you finally got a rest was about, like, Friday. Like, all the scouts were gone. All that was left was your team, and it was completely different. There was nobody at the hotel. It was crazy.
Yeah, everyone leaves on Friday. I left on Friday. But man, it is, like you said, it's very hectic. It's a crazy, crazy situation to be in, I'm sure, for you guys, because you're just like, you want to breathe, you want to kind of soak in everything, but you literally just don't have the time to do that.
Yeah, man, like, you are wall-to-wall packed. Like, it was really cool, though. I got to room with Ben Powers, so I wasn't alone in that experience. It was pretty fun.
And we're going to talk about that relationship along with some of the other guys here in a little bit, but man, I wanted to dive in. You know, coming out of high school, you were a pretty high-rated recruit coming out. You had offers from Texas Tech, UCLA, Arizona. What led you to Oklahoma?
You know, Oklahoma, for a long time, I was a big UCLA guy. Even before I was offered by these big schools, I was like, man, UCLA is going to be the spot. That's where I thought I wanted to go. And even came to the point where in my mind I was like, okay, UCLA just offered. I'm definitely going to commit to them. I'm going to go out to this Oklahoma trip to see what it's like and then come back and commit to UCLA. I ended up going out to the Oklahoma trip, and on the plane ride home, I'm like, man, I'm about to commit to Oklahoma. Like, there was just something about that experience, man. Like, I probably caught the one day out of the year that the weather was good in Norman. I think everything just lined up perfectly, man. It was a great experience. I loved my time there, and I didn't want to leave.
And you know, I want to tell everybody listening, you are from Sacramento, California, correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
UCLA is like local. It's, you know, probably a school you grew up watching, paying attention to. So really, something really had to click for you to pick Oklahoma over UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, it was really that at-home feeling, but also, like, there's something big about to happen. I mean, at that time, the guy who was recruiting me, the recruiting coordinator, was like, listen, man, we got a guy coming in. He's here on campus right now. His name's Baker Mayfield. This dude's about to be the next big thing. I'm like, all right, man, I guess I'll come and join you guys, see how it goes, and it ended up working out.
All right, we're going to talk about Baker here in a little bit too, but we're going to stay on track. We're going to stay on track. So coming into Oklahoma, 2015, your freshman year, you start 9 games, but they're all at right tackle. Coming out of high school,
Yes. You
played some right tackle and some right guard. Did you know coming into your freshman year that they were going to play you at right tackle, or was it still kind of up in the air?
Pretty much primarily tackle was where I knew I was going to be playing. I came in as a tackle. I hit the camp circuit as a tackle. The only time I played guard in high school was I think my sophomore year, like my first year of varsity, my sophomore year. And then after that, I was at right tackle. And then my senior year, I played maybe like four or five games at left tackle till getting moved to right. And, you know, I talked to Coach B, and he said that the plan is that you're a tackle, you're going to come in as a tackle. And then he gave me the opportunity to play there, got to get some starts under my belt, and then, you know, he moved the offensive line around where he thought everyone fit best.
And was that tough for you to kind of go through that? Did it feel like, I mean, obviously it's not a demotion. It's not like, you know, guards a demotion from tackle, but obviously do you, what was kind of your thoughts and feelings on that when they told you, okay, you know, instead of tackle, you're going to play guard?
Yeah, I just trusted Coach B. You know, he preached to us that he's going to find any way possible to get the five best guys on the field. So me moving to guard wasn't – it could have said anything. It could have been, we have this guy that only plays tackle. We need him to come in. Like, it could have said so many things that, you know, I couldn't take it personally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just did exactly what Coach B needed me to do. I trusted him. I trusted what he had, the vision that he had for the offensive line, and, you know, everything worked out perfectly.
And I'm curious because everyone in the NFL nowadays is obsessed with the Lincoln Rileys, the Cliff Kingsbury's, the Sean McVay guys. But Coach B is a guy who continues to just pump offensive line talent in the NFL really, really easily. Why don't we hear his name more in that NFL coaching circuit?
I don't know, man. Maybe it's just being attached to the offensive line. You know, the offensive line doesn't get the most pub in the world, and he's not exactly the young, pretty, you know, full head of hair. I mean, he has a great head of hair, actually, but he's not exactly like the Hollywood movie star coach that you see coming up nowadays. But I mean, Coach B, his coaching mentality of just tough and gritty and intense, and he will get on you. I mean, he's probably the most cussing coach that I've ever had in my entire career. But at the same time, like, this dude connects with his players emotionally, cares about them. So you can tell that he balances that intensity with, you know, how much he cares about his players and how much passion he has for the game. And, you know, he may be not getting the pub that he deserves right now, but it's definitely coming.
I agree. Watching that offensive line over the last few years has been a lot of fun. He's got a hell of a group to coach with yourself, Ben Powers, Bobby Evans, Cody Ford, then guys like, you know, in earlier years like Orlando Brown. He's had so much talent on that offensive line to work with, but he definitely gets the best out of you guys, and you can tell that game in and game out that you guys are – I mean, again, this year was a perfect example for me, just – the amount of games that you watch with Kyler back there and just has so – I mean, people are almost using that as a knock on Kyler when they're, you know, evaluating them this year. They're like, yeah, he didn't really have to deal with much pressure. And you can't knock him for that, but people are curious what it's like because you guys gave him so much time. What's it like just to play on an offensive line with so much NFL talent up and down the line? You know, you look to your left, you got a guy who's going to be picked in the, you know, first or second round. You look to your right, you got a guy who's going to be picked in the first or second round. You just got literally studs lined up all along the line. What's it like to just be a part of something like that?
It's amazing, man. You know, it really, we have that pushing each other mentality every single day. I mean, even Creed Humphrey stepped up. I mean, he came out of nowhere. We knew that he had the physical ability, but he completely stepped up and, you know, challenged us as well. So it's just challenging each other every single day, trying to get better. We all have goals that we want to reach, and we're all, you know, reaching for the same thing. So being able to push each other every day, it's, you know, it's really a blessing to be in a group that everyone's fighting and kind of on equal level at such a high level. But, you know, it's a great group of guys, too, and we're, you know, the tightest-knit group in the country, I believe.
And my next question to you is going to be, why is that group so tight-knit? You know, why are you guys so successful as an offensive line unit? We're going to get into the offense as a whole here in a second, but just as an offensive line, why do you think you guys are able to find so much success so consistently throughout the years, I should say?
You know, this has been the tightest group that I've been a part of ever since. I think about my sophomore year when, you know, the younger guys, the guys in my class really started coming in and making this offensive line our own, or at least starting to anyway. But I think it's just been a great culture for this offensive line. And, you know, we're the tightest knit group, definitely on the team, probably in the country. And it's a great mix of personalities, work ethics, you know, backgrounds. We all come from different areas, but, you know, I just think that it was like the perfect mesh of people to be brought in at the same exact time.
Just the same kind of attitudes up and down the line, just same, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're completely different personalities. I mean, we're all from completely different places, but, I mean, we're the I mean, those are my brothers now, man. Yeah. Like, those are great guys. I love them.
Good deal, good deal. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Lincoln Riley. We mentioned it a few minutes ago. You know, we see his name popped up so much in the head coaching circuit in the NFL with obviously guys like Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay. That coaching tree is so popular nowadays. What do you think has made Lincoln Riley so successful as a head coach at Oklahoma?
You know, I think that he's a great players coach. You know, he connects with his guys. He gets the best out of guys. Like, everybody on the team wants to play for him. But as far as from a football standpoint, I mean, he and Coach B are two of the schematically smartest coaches that I've ever been around. They have so many counters to plays that they run. Like, they'll run one play, run the exact same play backwards, or flip it around on its head, and they just keep defenses guessing the entire time.
And I think that's kind of, you know, we see different versions of that. We saw it in the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Rams, just two genius kind of head coaches nowadays going at each other. And you know, the Patriots obviously came out on top, and they did that kind of same thing on offense. They found something that worked, and like you said, they'd run the same thing but just a little bit different, and they, you know, continued to beat that kind of in the ground. And it's so interesting because everyone's trying to copy that Lincoln Riley scheme nowadays, and it's just not many teams can find success. Why do you think it's so hard to have a, you know, carbon copy of that scheme at Oklahoma in the NFL?
I can't really say why it's so hard for people to replicate.
I was going to say, they don't have an awesome offensive line, awesome quarterback, awesome.
I mean, it's pretty hard to recruit the way that OU does. Yeah. But I think that part of the difficulty of the offense is just how it asks everybody to do pretty much everything. You can't be one-dimensional in the offense. I mean, Kyler has to be able to run and throw. The receivers need to be able to run out for routes, but they also need to be the best perimeter blockers in the country. And, you know, the offensive line needs to be physical and powerful, but they also need to be athletic. So it's asking the most of everybody in the offense, and I think it's just hard for, you know, to ask that much of somebody at such a high level. But I'm sure teams can do it. They'll probably end up replicating it at some point.
All right, you talked a little bit about Kyler, and we talked a little bit about Baker earlier. You've been able to block for two of the most polarizing quarterback prospects in recent memory in the last 2 years in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I'm going to ask you straight up. It's going to be a tough – you probably won't give me an answer, and I completely understand. Who's the more talented quarterback? That's been the question that everyone's been asking, you know, since Kyler did come out and say he was going to stick to football. Everyone's kind of comparing the two guys, similar size, similar arms. Who would you say has got the most talent?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, man. I can't really – it's hard. It's, I mean, it's not that I'm not, like, giving a cop-out answer. It's
just so hard because
They're very similar in the way that they play. It's just, I mean, the transition from both quarterbacks was completely seamless. Like, it was as if we had Baker again for another year behind us. Like, it felt no different to the offensive line. So, I mean, I can't really speak to who's better. So, sorry about that, man.
No. Did you expect that? I mean, it's hard to expect that, right?
Yeah.
You get a guy that goes number one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to match a Heisman winner, first overall pick, and the next guy comes in, it's like, I mean, kind of expected to drop off. And then that dude wins the Heisman. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just, it was a completely, like, once-in-a-lifetime situation that I'm in. So.
Well, they better have been buying you guys dinner, because you guys definitely made it easy for him. I'll say that.
Yeah, man, Kyler spotted us every Wednesday. We were good on the dinner.
There you go. That's good. Yeah. And again, you know, it's crazy when you turn on the tape of you guys' offense, because you see, obviously, Kyler, you see, like I mentioned, Cody Ford, Bobby Evans, yourself, Ben Powers, just the entire offensive line dominating. Then you got, you know, Hollywood Brown lined up on one side. You know, when Rodney Anderson's healthy, it's just such a dynamic offense from top to bottom. It's just impossible to defend, honestly. And it's, you know, I keep saying the same thing over, but it's just got to be so special to be a part of something like that. Just every week you go into the weekend and just know we're going to put up at least 40, and, you know, that's just kind of just what you go into the week expecting.
Yeah, it was. I don't think anybody can say that, like, okay, like, we're probably going to score 50 to 60 points this game. Like, it's just about scoring every time that we touch the football. Like, I mean, I know everybody's like, we need to get points on the board every time we get the ball. We need to make drives count. But we made drives count every single drive of every single game. It was crazy.
Of course. All right, man. I want to start winding things down. I know you're busy, so I don't want to hold you too much longer.
I appreciate it, man.
I wanted to ask you, was there a highlight in your career at Oklahoma that you'll just, it'll stick with you for as long as you'll live, you'll never forget it? Obviously, you know, you've played in some huge games, you made some huge, you know, blocks, some huge plays, but is there one moment at Oklahoma that you just never forget?
There are a lot of moments between, you know, the O-line and my brothers, I don't know, yeah, but if I'm narrowing down specifically football-wise, I think it was, you know, my overall career against Ohio State. You know, my sophomore year, my second game ever starting at guard was against Ohio State in a home game, huge game, and, you know, I went out and I pretty much sucked. Not pretty much. I really did suck. And then, you know, I was really down on myself. It was hard switching mm-hmm. positions. But, you know, from then on, just kept my head down, kept working, ended up improving, got to the Sugar Bowl, played really well in that game. So at that point, I had improved a lot at the guard position. And next year, the next year rolls around, my junior year, we're going into Ohio State. I'm ready to get back at them. I'm finally comfortable in my position. I'm ready to go. Would go out and I played my best game of the season mm-hmm. that year against Ohio State, against a defensive line that's loaded with NFL talent and, you know, absolutely, in my opinion, dominated. Yeah, it was a really crazy experience for me because, you know, rarely do things work out the way that you want to. You get a mm-hmm. you get a rematch with somebody and things work out perfectly. And yeah, that was just, you know, a once in a lifetime experience for me. I was really proud of myself. Really proud of the O-line, the way they played, and that was probably my biggest moment.
And I'm glad you said something like that because so many guys I talk to will say, you know, this touchdown or this block or this sack, and I like that you kind of added some, not negativity in it, but it was something that you kind of had to work through. That's always cool to hear, kind of somebody going through adversity and coming out on top of it. That's always a great story to have.
If there's one thing I faced in college, it was adversity. So
yeah, no, for sure. Those guys seem to have the most success at the next level too. The guys who had to struggle and, you know, work their way through the hard times as well. Kind of, you know, staying on that same subject, man, is what's one defender that you faced throughout your career at Oklahoma that you think was the most talented guy you went up against? Maybe the most competitive, maybe the most disruptive, explosive. What's just that one guy that when you saw him coming up the next week, you're like, oh man, I got to deal with this guy again.
You know, within the conference, I thought that, you know, Daniel Wise is a really good competitor. I know my sophomore and junior year, he was kicking my butt. But, you know, I just feel like he's really explosive, mm-hmm. moves around a lot. He's probably, just because he's at Kansas, he doesn't get as much, you know, clout, I guess, as he should. But that dude's a really talented. Out of conference, I would say, I mean, I only faced Quentin Williams, like, he only lined up against me like 5 times. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the dude beat me clean twice. So he's obviously super talented, going to go super high. So those are just a couple of the guys.
Yeah, and I, obviously Quentin Williams is one of the top guys in this class as well. And Daniel, yeah. I love that you brought up Daniel because he's a guy who I think is getting slept on a little bit as well. That, you know, he's very talented. He's just under the radar because he played at Kansas and, you know, wasn't playing.
Not as good situation. If he was at a big school, that dude would be going first round easy. Like, he is very talented.
Of course. All right, I got a few more questions for you. I'll be quick. Man, just tell the guys listening, girls listening, anyone listening, what do you think your best trait is coming into the NFL?
My best trait is definitely my intensity on the field. You know, sometimes maybe it's gotten the better of me. It's well documented, but I feel like I bring the intensity every game, try to finish every block that I make, and just bring the fire and passion to the game that people like to see.
And what would you say is the one thing that you want to improve on the most over these next few weeks?
Over these next few weeks, I would like to improve on, you know, just my overall technique, hand placement. You know, sometimes I get caught punching pretty wide. Mm-hmm. I need to get a more, you know, stable punching technique down. And I've been working at it a lot. We've been working with one of the Cowboys guys, so he's getting us right in that aspect. And overall, mentality-wise, I'd like to work on my patience. You know, there's a lot of times when I try to, you know, jump someone off the line of scrimmage or try to do something too fast, trying to go too fast, and it gets me caught a couple times. So those are just a couple of things I want to improve on.
Great. That's great information to have. And then one of my last two questions is, someone in the NFL that's currently playing now, who do you compare yourself to? Who do you watch a lot of tape of? Who do you kind of try to model your game after?
I'm trying to model my game after Zach Martin. Yeah, I think every guard will say that Zach Martin is the most technically sound offensive lineman in the league. It may be changing with Quentin Nelson coming around. But from what I've seen throughout college, it's been Zach Martin all the time. But mentality-wise, you know, going to model myself after Orlando. You know, he was a great example for us, and he's bringing that passion and fire that he played with at OU into the NFL.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm super glad to see him having so much success after all the stuff that can't happen at the combine and how many people just kind of went out on him because of his combine performance. He's still a really great player. Last question I want to ask you, same question I ask everyone leaving the podcast, is why Drew Samia? If you're right there, you got a guy touching interior offensive line, tag touching, why is that team drafting you over the other one?
I can tell you that there's nobody in this draft that's as passionate as I am. You know, I'm the hardest working guy here. I'm in first. I'm out last. And you can tell that I care the most out of everybody. I think, you know, my teammates can attest to that. I'm very passionate about this game. It means a lot to me. So, you know, I'm just the hardest working, most intense, passionate guy out there.
Love to hear that, man. And again, I want to thank you so much for coming on, spending some time with us, talking some football. Had a lot of fun with you, and I can't wait to see these next few weeks are going to be huge for you, and I can't wait to see how much progress you make.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, man.
Of course, man. This was Connor Livesey. I was on with Drew Samia, Oklahoma offensive guard. He played some tackle at Oklahoma as well. But if you're needing some offensive line help, if you're a fan of a team needing some offensive line to help, he is a guy to keep an eye on. Really talented, really athletic, great size, great length. He's got it all. So make sure you're familiar with Drew if you're not. Thank you so much, Drew, for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Connor Livesey, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.